First Corinthians chapter 4 should be like 7/8 of the way through your Bible. That was such a creative fraction for me to use. 7/8. So like 3.5/4. 27/5? 30/5. Is that true? I look to Terry. I feel like...
No!
You're a junior high... You were a junior high teacher. Really? No fractions? Nothing? That was like junior high, right? Junior high is like the start of fractions.
No, fractions
are really?
Fractions 3 years ago.
Yeah. Oh. Excuse me. Okay, stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Please. Doing stretches. Okay, y'all got it? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, starting in verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us today through your word. We love you so much, and we just want to know you more. As we walk in this relationship with you, we know that it's so important to not just get to know ourselves more, but to get to know you more, to get to know your character and what you show us in your word. So we pray that you would fill us with your spirit to receive who you are and to apply that to our lives. We pray that we would grow in less of ourselves and in more of you. Fill us with your spirit, we pray, and we give this time over to you. And all God's people said... Amen. So, last week we took a little break. High school had just gotten back from insomnia, and it was going into Thanksgiving, so I gave a little Thanksgiving teaching. So, we need to get back to our series, back to 1 Corinthians. And it's been a while. It's been like, I think it's been a few weeks, or a small number of weeks. And today we finished chapter 3 last time, and we're finally breaking into chapter 4. But what I want to do real quick, really briefly, is catch you up on what we looked at last time we were in 1 Corinthians, so your memory will kind of jive, so you'll kind of be like, oh, okay, I know where we're coming from. But last time we were in 1 Corinthians, we finished chapter 3, and we looked at the three types of teachings that are available to us as Christians, and we saw the good, the bad, and the ugly. And remember, the good teaching is something that is rooted in Scripture, that really edifies us and encourages us. And we saw that sometimes the encouragement doesn't give us warm fuzzies. Sometimes when we are encouraged in our walk with God, it doesn't make us feel good. We won't necessarily leave that teaching going, ooh, I feel really good inside and I'm so excited to be a Christian. Sometimes we'll leave going, man, this is a hard walk with God. There's certain parts that I have to sacrifice and surrender, and it's not always easy. Then we saw the bad. And the bad is something that goes, that's something that is not rooted in Scripture. And we see these teachings when people are focused not so much on the theology of Scripture, but they're focused on entertaining people, or they're focused on getting people into church. They just want more people in, and they want them to stay and be happy. So if you're ever hearing a teaching and they like read one verse and then they talk about really fun stuff and it's just like you're laughing the whole time and having a really good time and you don't even really know how that applies to your eternity, then that's probably not a good teaching, and that would be categorized as a bad teaching. Then we saw the ugly. And the ugly is something that not only isn't rooted in Scripture, but it goes against Scripture. And we have to be aware of these three types because, one, we want to have good teachers. We want to be receiving good teaching because it's going to help us grow. And we want to avoid bad and ugly teaching because it's going to trip us up. It's going to stumble us. And really, it'll just confuse us, and it's unnecessary confusion. So now we arrive at chapter 4. And Paul is continuing a subject that I feel like if it were a horse, it would have been like B, because he has talked about it a whole bunch. It's crazy how much he's talking about it. But it just shows us that this is such an important thing to Paul. And he's talking about how in the church in Corinth, the leaders were, or the people were divided over what leader they felt that they belonged to. So you had some people in Corinth who were going, oh, we belong to Apollos, he's the best. And then other people who were like, no, 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 we belong to Paul because he has a beard and he's cool. I don't know if Paul had a beard, but maybe. And then probably, because why would he shave every day? And then we had some people who were like, we belong to Jesus because we're spiritual and stuff. And they were divided because of this. They were separated. People in the church who were just a part of the body of Christ couldn't get along because they felt like they belonged to certain teachers. They belonged to different people who had come and taught them and encouraged them in their walk with God. And Paul starts this chapter off showing the people of Corinth and us as well that Christians cannot and should not judge the commitment, love, and faithfulness of another Christian. Because here's what they were doing. They were looking at Paul or Apollos or even Peter, and they were saying, because Paul does this, because Paul has a really nice beard. I don't know why, but I think Paul had a nice beard. Or because Paul was a servant, so kind and served all, Paul was definitely had a more mature relationship with God. He was definitely further along in the depth of his relationship. And then others were saying, because Apollos was so theological, so smart, he knew his Bible so well, he was obviously more committed, more in love with God, more faithful to his relationship with God. And what that was, when you boil it down, is they were judging the teachers, they were judging the leaders, and then deciding to whichever one they gave the best judgment to. So what we're going to look at today, in case you didn't guess, is judgment. And judgment is a huge topic in Christianity and outside of Christianity. I mean, judge not, lest you be judged. That is probably the most quoted verse in the world. And it's not usually quoted by Christians, am I right? Because I feel like you guys have probably heard, or maybe you've seen it, or you've heard someone say it to your parents, when you're like, hey, I don't know if you should be doing that. And then someone goes, judge not, lest you be judged. Yeah?
What?
No? You guys never get that? No?
Yeah.
Really? That's like, really? Well, you'll get it. You'll get it at some point, because it happens. Even, like, I recently saw on Facebook, someone, like, had posted a video and was just like, man, I do not agree with the lifestyle of this person. And someone was like, judge not, lest you be judged. Bam. And it's like, why? Like, do you know the context of where that's coming from? Do you know, like, really what it means to judge someone? Like, why are you going to quote that and then not quote any other part of the Bible? That's what happens in my heart when I see that. But judging is something that we come against in life, in normal society, all the time. And it can be a really touchy subject because it's really a huge reason why a lot of people aren't coming to church. It's either they think the church is just filled with hypocrites, or they think the moment they step in a church that they're going to be judged for the way they look, for what they do, for maybe the way they smell, or what they were doing last night. They're afraid to come into a church because they think they'll be judged. But what I want to ask you guys is, what exactly does it mean to judge somebody? Does anybody want to take a swing at it? Josh.
Let's say someone is smoking and someone said, well, you shouldn't be doing that because what's bad for you?
So if I see someone smoking and then I'm just like, that person's a bad person because they were smoking. So at that moment, you're judging them. Okay, how is it different? Oh, anybody else? Any other thoughts? What is judging? What does it mean to judge someone? Nothing? Oh, Grace, go for it.
Like, less, like,
Yeah, so maybe to see something someone did and then to say that they're less of a, like, they're less serious than you are, or maybe they're not as mature as you are, or they're a weirdo.
Weirdos.
Do you guys even use that word anymore?
Weirdo. What a weirdo.
Chloe? So to kind of like guilt them, to see something they do and then to like make it even worse, make it bigger than it was. Yeah, it can be that. Emily?
Maybe devaluing.
Devaluing, so because you smoke, then like you're not really worth my time. Or because you dress like that, because that guy's wearing like super skinny jeans and has tattoos, he's not worth my time. I'm not even gonna talk to him. He's weird looking. He's a weirdo. Yeah, you guys pretty much nailed it. But let me give you like a direct from the language definition of what it means to judge someone from a spiritual standpoint, strictly spiritually. It means when you judge someone to determine the excellence or the defects of someone's relationship with God. So when you judge someone, you're seeing something they do, something that they, or maybe something they've done, maybe it's a way they look or something they're wearing, and you're determining the excellence or the defects, the negativity of the relationship that they have with God. So what's interesting about this and what we forget sometimes is that judging can go both ways. It can go good or it can go bad. And if you judge someone in a good way, you are just as guilty of judging that person. So if I see someone like coming to church and they're like putting out a cigarette like as they're coming into church, and then I judge that person and like say they're immoral or something, I've judged that person in a negative way and I'm guilty of judging that person. But if I see someone coming with a suit and like pick up a piece of trash and then like sit in the front row and take a whole bunch of notes and then go, oh, that person must be really spiritual and probably definitely committed to his relationship with God, I've judged that person. And I'm just as guilty of judging him in a negative way because I've judged them. I've seen something they've done and I've decided the excellence or the defects of their relationship with God. So what we're going to focus on today are three reasons why we should not judge others. Then we're going to close looking at what we can do when it comes to like determining or evaluating someone. What can we do? What does Scripture say that we can do? So the three reasons we shouldn't judge others are, first, if they are unsaved, we should not judge them. If they're unsaved. Second, human standards are imperfect. We should not judge others because human standards are imperfect. And third, the third reason we should not judge others is because our vision is impaired. And this is what we're going to go through today. It'll be our focus points. If they're unsaved, human standards are imperfect, and our vision is impaired. Those points are really, like, sloppy, and I'm sorry about that. They don't, like, sound pretty. I normally try to, like, make my points sound pretty, but I couldn't. I'm sorry, guys. Let you down. Okay, let's just dive right into it. So, why can't we judge someone if they're unsaved? This is the first reason that we cannot judge someone, and we see this in 1 Corinthians 5:12. And it's a passage that we're going to get the context of in probably just a few weeks, but we can see this verse and look at it and take it at its value. Paul says, "It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders." And by outsiders, Paul is talking about people who are not yet Christians, people who have not yet entered into a relationship with Christ. And here is why we cannot judge people who are unsaved. First, they don't have the Holy Spirit of God moving through them and showing them the directions through life. We have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and He is our helper. That is how He's described in a lot of different passages of Scripture. He's someone who helps us through the challenges and temptations and morals and immorals of life. And when we see someone who is unsaved doing something immoral, it should to us just make sense because it's what they know. Without the Holy Spirit, immorality is normal. It's the direction that human nature moves. So we shouldn't expect something different from them because they lack the Holy Spirit that we have. And then the second reason we can't judge those who are unsaved is because apart from a relationship with Christ, they have no eternal reason to live as God has called them to. So when you became a Christian, something changed in your life where now, because you're in a relationship with God, because eternity is at stake and you're getting to know Him more, you have a reason to love Him and deny the things of this world and to get to know what He desires of you and to live in those ways and to do those things. But someone who is not yet in a relationship with God simply does not have that. They do not have that relationship to where they want to commit aspects of their life to God because they don't have it. It's as simple as that. They don't have it. And so we can't judge someone who is unsaved because that's who they are. They're unsaved. We can't expect something different from them because God doesn't expect us to be transformed before we come to Him. He transforms us the moment we put our faith in Him. He justifies us. He makes us righteous. He washes us with the blood of Christ. And then He starts to transform us, to sanctify us, to separate us from the norms of this world every single day that we're walking with Him. So a Christian, one of us, judging a non-Christian would be like using a Lego manual to figure out what's wrong with your parents' car. So imagine if like if your dad's having brake issues on his car, or like your mom accidentally like ran into somebody, because my mom does that sometimes. But so imagine that happens, and they're like, "Oh, what are we gonna do about our car? We're gonna have to get it worked on." And you're like, "Oh, guys, let me help out." So you run inside, and then you bust out the Lego manual, and you're like, "Oh, so the brakes, is that what you need help with?" So you turn to page 35 and you're like, "Oh, so it's a 3-piece part. What you need to do is pop off the wheel. Probably need to get the bumper off, and then you need to take the hood off. And then all you need to do is fix this little piece right here and your brakes should be fine." No, it's ridiculous, right? It's just, they're not the same thing. A Lego car in a car is not the same thing. So using the manual of a Lego to work on a car would be ridiculous. But it would crack me up if, like, a little kid came out to help his dad with the Lego manual and he was like, "Dad, why are you having such a hard time? It's just 3 pieces. That'd crack me up. I'd be.
That's what YouTube's for. No.
For working on your car or putting Legos together?
Anything.
Oh, all of it. Okay, cool. So the second reason that we should not judge others is because human standards are imperfect. In our passage, verses 3 through 4, Paul says, "As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove that I am right. It is the Lord Himself who will examine me and decide." Here Paul is saying that the second reason we should not judge others is because the standards that humans use to determine what is right and wrong are imperfect. They fall short from what is perfection. And this applies to both Christians and those who are not yet saved. Our standards are not perfect. And the reason our standards are imperfect is because the only perfect standard that can be set is by God. As humans, we have these things called like emotions and feelings and desires and like friends and stuff that get in the way. And like moods. Sometimes our mood gets in the way of what we can deem as morally right and wrong. And it's just the way we are. We get confused by what we're feeling, and we get confused by who's doing what. And things like relationships and feelings and circumstances get in the way of us determining what is perfect and what is right and wrong. And Paul tells us that there's two imperfect standards that we need to watch out for in this world. First, it's the imperfect standards of others, of people around us, basically the standards of humans. And the reason we need to watch out for that is, like, think of our justice system. If you, like, lied about who ate the last piece of pumpkin pie on Thursday, it was you, but you, like, blamed it on your little brother. You were like, Tommy's been eating all the pie! But it was actually you. You are not going to go to court and receive some sort of punishment because you lied about who ate the last piece of pumpkin pie. But apart from being washed by the blood of Christ, that sin is deserving of death. That's hard for us to wrap our mind around, but all sin, whether it's murder or lying or watching something inappropriate, has destined us to death, to eternity in hell. And it's only by the blood of Christ that we can be made righteous. So the standards of humans right then are imperfect because they don't really view watching something inappropriate as a big issue. It's not right or wrong. It's just a thing. It's just a thing there. Maybe you shouldn't do it while you're young, but when you get older, yeah, watch what you want and nobody should be able to tell you what you should or shouldn't be watching. But from the perfection of Christ, that is just wrong. That's not the truth. That's not Christ's perfect standards. And then the second standards we need to watch out for are our own standards, the standards of myself. Because as humans, we have a tendency to judge ourselves. But what's interesting is when we judge ourselves, it usually goes the other way. Usually we look into our lives and say, well, at least I'm not that bad. At least I'm not doing something that wrong. Or at least I'll be able to get back on my feet, or at least I'll be able to stop doing that anytime I want, and it doesn't really have a hold of me. So we have a tendency to look at the actions that we're doing and then make a positive judgment on ourselves. And Paul, in our passage, says, my conscience is clear. I look in my life, and I don't feel like a bad person. I don't see a whole bunch of bad things going on. I don't feel like a person who is just sinning left and right. But that doesn't prove that I'm right. Just because I don't feel like a bad person, just because I don't feel like I deserve the punishment of sin, doesn't mean that I am a righteous person. That is why we as Christians, we do not compare ourselves to others. We do not compare ourselves to what's going on in this nation, or to what our friend is doing, or to what's going on in our family. We compare ourselves solely 100% to the Word of God, to the standard that God has set forth for us. And then finally, we see that the last reason we should not judge others is because our vision is impaired. My vision is currently, like, impairing. It's happening, and it's the worst. It's like a genetic thing, I believe. So my dad, when he was like 19 and 20, his vision went bad. And my mom, she's like, I think when she was like 35 or 40, her vision started to go bad. So pretty much by the time I'm 25, I'm going to be like wearing glasses so big, I'm just going to drown in them. But what's happening right now is my vision is, like, it gets worse and worse, like, every week, and it's pretty rough. But that what's happening in that moment is I'm getting impaired vision. And what happens when our vision is fully impaired, that means that your vision cannot be restored or corrected by any human means. There's no glasses or contacts that you're... What is the eye doctor... Ophthalmologist. That your optometrist, ophthalmologist, optometrist, your optician. I don't know. There's a point where your vision is so impaired that you cannot be corrected. It cannot be fixed. And as humans, we have spiritual visual impairment when it comes to making judgment on someone's faithfulness to God. In verse 5, Paul says, so don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time, before the time that the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light. Ooh, that's kind of scary. And will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. So there's two important things that God can see that we are blind to as human beings. And first, this is going to blow your mind, everything. God can see everything, and we cannot. There's certain situations in life that we simply cannot speak into because we didn't see it. We didn't see with our own eyes what happened, and we didn't witness it. So us talking about it is just going to be gossip. It's going to be spreading rumors. But God is never in a situation where he should not speak into it. He has always been a firsthand witness of what has happened. All the time, everywhere, every single moment, God has seen everything. But then second, the second thing God can see that we cannot are motives. God sees motives. He sees why people do what they do deep down inside. What the heart is desiring. What the heart is desiring when someone does something. So we see that guy walk in a suit. He's got like a well-groomed beard because we trust men with beards, right? Right? Beards are trustable. Yeah, of course. Okay, so clean-shaven boy, man, still man, walks in a really nice suit, picks up the trash, sits in the front row, takes really good notes, does all of this. And we look at that and we might say, that guy's got to be really spiritually mature. But God can look into his heart and say, he was actually just doing that to be noticed. He was actually just doing that to like catch the eye of a girl. And guys will do something like that. Girls will too, but guys will do it quicker. And this is something that only God can see. And this is why we cannot make judgments about someone's relationship and faithfulness to God upon what they are doing outside, what they are doing on the outward. We only see probably 2% of a person's life because they sleep, they do things on their own time. We're not walking with them 100% of the time. They have secrets, thoughts that we don't see. And so we see that 2%, that tip of the iceberg, and we make a whole judgment about the person, and it's wrong. And God is telling us not to do that. Now, as we come to a close, there's something that we are called to judge. And it is something that can really easily get confused in the life of a Christian. And what we are called to judge is the actions of other Christians. But let me explain it a little further. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 through 13, Paul says, it isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but as Scripture says, you must remove the evil person from among you. So, when we see the actions of a Christian, we are called to judge the actions. But what happens is we so often get confused and see the actions and say, that's who that Christian is. That's what motivates them. That's what's in their heart. But we cannot make that assumption. What God desires us to do is to see the actions of a Christian and then encourage them if it's something good. If you saw someone pick up a piece of trash, say, hey, you should keep doing that. That's awesome. Good job. Don't make a big spectacle like, oh, you picked up trash. Awesome, dude. Start up treasures in heaven. No, don't do that. But privately, one like a sticker, give him a sticker. You're a helper. That's how you would do it. But A plus plus plus. But no, to encourage someone one-on-one when you see something good in their lives. But then we also, when we see something negative in a Christian's life, we do not make an assumption of their relationship with God. For all we know, they could have been tempted really hard right in that moment and then given into it once in like the last 10 years. They did that. And it just happened to be in a public place where you saw it. You don't know if their heart was in the wrong place. Maybe they were just really tired, really grumpy, or had a really hard day at home. And then you make assumptions about their heart. But we are supposed to see the action and then address the action. To say, to take that person privately and say, hey, I don't know if you should be doing that. Not make a big thing about it. No, don't ever make a big thing about it. But to just say, hey, I noticed that you did that, and it doesn't seem like something I'd normally see you do. So I was wondering if there's any way I could encourage you, any way that I could pray for you to build you up. Notice that the call of judging the actions of a Christian is not to tear them down. It is never to tear them down, but it is to protect them, to encourage them, to build them up, to protect other Christians around you, to protect the body of Christ and the church. So we do not judge the Christian. And that is what we so often do, so easily. We see an action and judge a person. We see an action and we judge a person. No. But that is, it's the truth. We so often see an action and we judge a person. But all God calls us to do is to see the action and then make a judgment on that action. Was that action moral or was it immoral? Was it wrong or was it right? And that is it. That is where it stops. Let's pray and give this week over to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you've called us to love others, to love those who it's even hard to love, to not judge others, but to give them the love that you desire us to have for them. So we pray that you would help us to see people with your eyes. When we see with someone who looks maybe untrustable, who looks like we should devalue them, that we wouldn't do it, Lord, that we wouldn't be fooled by appearances, that we wouldn't be fooled by just those small actions that we see from day to day, but that we would go beyond that and value the person and love the person and encourage them. We pray that you would teach us how to not judge someone's relationship and faithfulness to God, but teach us how to faithfully judge the actions that are produced by Christians. We love you so much, God, and we pray that you would continue to work this theme into our hearts. We give you this week. We pray that you would be in every school assignment we do, every conversation we have with our family and our friends and our parents, and just be completely glorified as we move closer into the Christmas season. We pray that it would be peaceful, that you would be the focus, and that we would be able to glorify and serve you in any way possible. We pray all this in your name. And all of God's people said, amen.